Chapter 21. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day, there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life.
Glory to God forever. Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. This is Wonder in Reality. Father Jesus, Holy Spirit, we give you this time. We are so grateful for everything. We know that it's only you and your glorious presence which accomplishes which gets results. And so we welcome you here. Wonderful Jesus, reveal yourself to us. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. and acknowledge that you are God. Amen. This portion of Scripture, Revelation chapter 21, so glorious, so wonderful. I've played this before in messages, but I want to continue to emphasize the glory of the Lord is the answer. The glorious Lord Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. The chief end of man is to know Him. The supreme end of man. Man was born to fellowship with Him. There are deep mysteries around why the human race was created. One reason is God created man to destroy the enemy forever. From our perspective, from our view, you might say, you know, someone may say, people ask, what's the meaning of life? We were born to fellowship with Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit. Amen. He's the most wonderful, most beautiful being in the universe. And when someone meets Him, they will only want Him. This chapter is filled with the glory of the Lord. This is a famous chapter. The last two chapters of the Bible, Revelation 21 and 22, some say that if you combine those with the first two chapters of Genesis, it forms a full completion. Now, I'll just leave that. That's a different teaching. But the theme of the Bible, one of the themes is redemption of mankind. But I almost want to just emphasize the glory of the Lord and His glorious presence, the presence of Jesus Christ, the presence of the Father. That's the answer. And I could stop the message right now. That's the whole key. We don't need to know anything else. This sub-series that I want to talk and proclaim, teach about, the name of Jesus. Yesterday's message, the name of Jesus. This glorious topic. But before I do that or anything is, 100% of the answer and the key is the glorious presence of Jesus. When we find that, that's the treasure, that's what man was born to do, then everything else just becomes, you might say, magnificent and glorious and majestic and beautiful and so wonderful, and the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, and the name of Jesus is one of those. Jesus even said, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. All three of those are glorious eternal mysteries and revelations and just so awesome. But we often, you might say, have things reversed. We try to understand everything and teach and live, and some of that is good. But again, I just want to emphasize, that's why I played this chapter, because it's just filled with the glory of the Lord. When someone finds that treasure, and it's Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit, everything flows from that, and everything works. Everything, there's results. And so we're putting together a book actually called The Name of Jesus, and there's been many books written about that subject. We need more. If you're in ministry, if you're a believer, please proclaim the name of Jesus. Write books, do anything you can. It's such a wonderful topic. But I want to just let the Holy Spirit reveal this, the glorious revelations related to the name of Jesus. Something that I want to hone in this chapter. And remember, this same, the glory of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, that's available to us today. That's to every person on the earth. The very first step that a person makes is calling on the name of Jesus, being saved. And they enter into the first of the four phases of knowing God. They won't feel anything, and they won't even understand, probably, the glory of the Lord. They're in the first of four phases. But if they continue on and go deeper, they will begin to understand and experience His glory. This, you know, there's so much in this chapter. I mean, it's so awesome. But the last verse, I want to just hone in. Let me read it. But there shall... Now, the overview is this is... We need to let the Holy Spirit reveal what is happening in this chapter. But it's obviously the new heaven, new earth. It's a description of the new Jerusalem. So glorious. We think that this is something, and you know, this is something that will happen in the future, and it is too wonderful for us to really comprehend. But remember, we have the Holy Spirit today. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God. This is what people are passing on and missing out on and saying no to. This, and so we want to give Him first place, make Him our first love, give Him, you know, everything, and then all the teachings and the wonderful things will follow. Every person on the earth is in love with something, aren't they? Something that where their heart is, their first love. Their Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's a glorious truth there. But practically speaking, today some people are in love maybe with their first love, where their heart is with a person on the earth, or maybe with themselves, or maybe with their career or money or something. Maybe it's pleasures or sex, drugs, alcohol. You know, there's all these different. For many people, it's possibly themselves. When we seek Him with our whole heart, make Him our first love. Well, wow, that's what man was born to do, is experience His presence, and it's only His presence that gets results in our personal life, in ministry. It's the only way people will get saved. The only way that there will be results for believers in their walk with Him. And it's so wonderful. It's almost like we just let the Holy Spirit, let Jesus Christ do this glorious, the glorious things that He does. And we can almost just watch how awesome His works are, and we move into the, we can practice the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are really simple. Every believer who has the Holy Spirit has the gifts of the Spirit. There's 9 gifts. All these wonderful things. Okay, this verse, the last verse, let me read it, verse 27. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's simple. Who makes it to heaven? Who gets to experience? And remember, heaven is filled with the presence of God, the presence of Jesus, so glorious. He's beyond description. Who gets to go there? Those who are in the Lamb's Book of Life. If anyone's not in that book, they end up in hell. It's a tragedy. It's terrible. How do we get in the Book of Life? Call on the name of Jesus. The simplest way, of course, who's in the Lamb's Book of Life? Those who are saved, who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they are sincerely, genuinely do their best to walk with Him their whole life. That's who makes it. So the name of Jesus is central, that's how we, as I mentioned, that's how somebody initially gets saved, and that's how we do everything in our walk with Him. It's all in the glorious name of Jesus Christ, which has the fullness of the Godhead. That name, and this is something I think is too wonderful for us. Well, the Holy Spirit can and does reveal this, that the name of Jesus represents, so to speak, the Father and Him, the Son Himself, and the Holy Spirit, because they are one. You know, someone may say, why is it about the name of Jesus Christ? Because, well, many reasons. One of the main ones is God loves the world, wants to save the world. He's given Jesus to mankind. Whoever calls on Him and knows Him as Lord and Savior belongs to the only true God. Amen. And here's a powerful verse, John 3:18. Jesus said, he who believes in Him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's amazing. Jesus was still alive, while he was alive as a man, spoke about his name right there. So I do want to finish up this message and with that about the Lamb's Book of Life and this verse, John 3:18. We might even say the Lamb's Book of Life is Jesus Christ's Book of Life. Like, that's, oh, it's so glorious that the name of Jesus represents the only true God fully. And it's not just His name, of course, but Jesus Himself is the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. He's the image of the invisible God, the brightness of His glory, the exact representation of God's nature. And so His name also, that name, there's power in the name of Jesus beyond what we can comprehend, because it represents fully the God of the universe, who is Jesus spoke about His Father and spoke about fearing Him that the opening of the revelation of prayer, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be Your name. One translation for that says, let Your name be kept holy. Holy. Hallowed. You know, someone may say, well, what does hallowed mean? Let Your name be kept holy. I just wanted to touch on the fact that Jesus, remember in Matthew 28, famous verse, says, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So, that's a whole different teaching, but that the name of Jesus, I want to finish with, the name of Jesus represents the only true God, the Father God Almighty, the great and awesome God of the universe, and the name of Jesus is, as I mentioned, there's power in the name of Jesus beyond what we can comprehend. There's victory and power and just incredible power and beyond what we can comprehend. I've emphasized this in some recent messages. We have the view of Jesus as a man, and that he was full of compassion, which was absolutely true. He was a man. He was, he said, gentle and humble in heart. But let's remember, Jesus Christ is the Lord God Almighty. He's one with the Father God, and his name represents that, you know, himself. Glory to God that he's God Almighty, powerful. And let me emphasize gentle and humble in heart. I did study that some, and that's really, that speaks about how he is perfectly one with the Father and consecrated to him and one with him and does exactly what the Father says and commands. That's, you know, what I'm speaking about right now, that's an eternal revelation. And the Holy Spirit can reveal it, that the great man of God explains it so well. The Father God speaks and commands. Jesus does it. The Holy Spirit manifests it all at the same time. This is how we can be saved. Let's start with, I know I'm continuing on, but there's something there that is so incredible. Salvation, that's the greatest miracle. When somebody simply calls on the name of Jesus and just says, Lord Jesus, save me, the Father God speaks and commands that person be saved. Jesus saves them, and the Holy Spirit manifests that in that person all at the same time. That's so glorious. Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ. He's our connection to the Father God Almighty. And then as we go deeper, we realize we have God Almighty with us. When we have Jesus Christ, he's not a man now. He's God Almighty. He's the Lord God Almighty. Now, let's remember, the Holy Spirit is sensitive and the most sensitive member of the Trinity, and so wonderful and perfect. I mean, just, that's what humans were born to do. There's no need to be concerned about anything. For example, someone may think, well, wait, if Jesus Christ is God Almighty, how in the world can I have a relationship with him? He's so awesome. I would just be on my face all day. Well, God set up the perfect plan. The Holy Spirit, a great man of God, explains it so well. He's the most sensitive member of the Trinity and can be grieved. And he has a personality. But it's the perfect plan. It's incredible. We would not be able to bear, if Jesus Christ himself, who's in heaven, if he appeared to us, well, it would be incredible. But we that's a whole different subject. I'm just saying, the Holy Spirit, God set up the perfect plan. now every person can have Jesus Christ fully, all the time, their entire life, and in Him live and move and have their being and be, and this glorious, the opportunity to fellowship with Him. Amen.